taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, very warm welcome to you once again. If you just tuned in, this is A Walk With Jesus right here on Joy 99.7 FM. And tonight, we are getting into our homes, our marriages, our families. And we're looking at the subject of marital intimacy, romance, and sex. Making her joy his joy. And I'm very sure that you are very ready to do some learning tonight. In fact, I will encourage you to get your notebook by your side and your pen by your side, because there are some apo you will have to jot down and apply, because it's going to help you in your love life. Tonight, I have some very wonderful people right here in the studios who are well vexed in the subject that is on the table for discussion. And they're going to be helping us get into the truth of this aspect of our lives. They're both not new to this platform. You know, I have with me right here in the studios Elder Amos Kevin Annan, who is CEO of Hearts and Habits Foundation. He's looking, I told him off air that he's dressed like he's celebrating his birthday today. So, a very good evening to you. How are you doing, sir?
Grace has kept us. Thank you.
The day your kaftan will get missing, I'll buy the same thing. That very day. I hope your Sunday was beautiful, sir.
Yes.
We bless the Lord.
Restful as well, so.
We bless the Lord. I envy you. It's been restful, eh?
Yeah.
I wish I were in your shoes.
I have learned to block things and keep my priorities as priorities.
That's good. That's good.
It's a tough decision, but that's life.
It's worth it.
It has to be tough.
It's worth it.
It's not worth it.
It's worth it. God bless you, and thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And I also have with me here in the studios Lady Maureen Frimpong, family life coach, recruiter, and trainer. And he's also the sweetheart of Pastor Kujo Frimpong, our very own Pastor Kujo Frimpong. A very good evening to you.
Good evening, Pastor.
The latest birthday girl in town. When I said that, Elder was asking, "Is it your birthday today?" Apparently, it was last month.
Last month.
But I haven't recovered from the birthday mood, so I'm celebrating it more than her.
Yeah.
You're warmly welcome.
Thank you, Pastor.
Right, right, right. The issue of sex. You're both married counselors. The issue of sex in marriages, is it a big deal when it comes to Christian marriages? Let me first of all ask you, Elder, before we zoom off into details.
Well, I mean, Christian marriages are not homogeneous. That's the first thing I would say. They're not homogeneous in the sense that all couples are not at the same space, within the same age bracket or category of development.
Mm.
So for instance, there are couples who are fairly advanced in age.
Mm.
Sex won't be a priority in those relationships.
Okay.
You know, the Bible tells us something that, remember your creator now in the days of your youth before the days of darkness come in, when you would say, I have no longer pleasure.
Mm.
So you would notice that older couples, pleasure is not what drives the marriage.
Mm.
Whereas younger couples, pleasure seems to be predominantly a driver in the marriage. So if you're looking at Christian marriages, then you've got to disaggregate it before you can make a pronouncement that sex is an issue. But we know that sex generally is something that caught people's attention and interest. And where it is absent, it creates difficulties for individuals, especially where the absence is unexplained.
Let me throw the same question to you, Lady Maureen. You've been counseling and people, I mean, Christian couples. Do you see that as an issue?
I think that from what Elder Amos is saying, sex is important, but like he said, we have to then segment it depending on how, where the couples are, the phase of marriage that they are at, and then we can say that sex may be important to them. But in a nutshell, if you're a married person, I think that sex is a predominant issue that we all, it's something that is general for all of us. So for any phase of your marriage that you are at, sex may not be a priority, but it is something that brings the two people together, because I think that 85% of the time, people who get married know that that is what they cannot avoid. Sex is what puts it us in a matrimony, and that's why the Bible says that we should not defile the marital bed, and because sex is very sacred for any married person or anybody who wants to get married. So for that understanding, sex is important, but depending on the phase of marriage you are in, it may not be as important as it is, but generally it's important for married people.
Interesting. So I would want us to get into the salient words in our caption. You know, we have marital intimacy, romance, and sex. I'd like you to briefly educate us. I mean, what do they mean?
Well, I think that the marital there connotes that this conversation is exclusively within the marital union. The intimacy, romance, and sex itself is what I call the IRS of marriage.
Internal Revenue Service.
Not Internal Revenue Services. It's intimacy, romance, and sex. But the short form is IRS. I remember a week ago when I had a retreat with couples, and I said we're going to discuss the IRS of sex. I mean, marriage, everyone was like, what's this? But that's what it is, to keep people thinking about what it is that they're doing. So intimacy, you're talking about romance, you're talking about sex. They are not the same things.
Okay.
So for instance, in simple terms, intimacy will be closeness or connections that are personalized.
Okay.
It's a personal closeness. Now, if you're looking at romance, you're looking at gestures that communicate love to another. So when you say somebody is romantic, oftentimes it is a gesture of love that they manifest to you that gives you the sense that you're being loved. Well, of course, sex is coitus, which is penetrative act.
I see.
So
there are differences.
Yeah, there are differences. There are differences. For instance, if you take sex, for instance, sex has stages.
We'll be getting there.
Has stages, has processes, has protocols that are required if anybody is going to engage in one. Much in the same way, intimacy has its own characteristics. So has romance also its own characteristics.
I see. What roles, Lady Maureen, what roles do these play in our marriages?
I think they play a vital role in our marriage. Not that I think, I know. They do play a vital role. But over the years, I think in my many years of counseling, what I realize is that people have the notion that sex is for procreation. And then we leave the important part of sex, which is to have pleasure. And so if I'm done having children, I'm 35, why should my husband come around me asking for sex? And in romance, like Elder Amos said, is that it's being intentional and being soft, I would say, and being soft towards somebody, showing gestures of softness that allows a person to feel loved. And intimacy must be intentional, because we may say that marriage is an intimate relationship, but not everybody is intimate in their marriages. So it must be an intentional act that we must get close to each other. We must be intentional in the way we treat one another. And so for a man, romance could be that he's always thinking about maybe respect and sex. Mm. And for a woman, romance could be helping around, being concerned about me, being there when I need you. So there are two people in a marriage, and so we have to be very direct in knowing what means to the other. We cannot define it to say it means this for everybody.
I see.
Everybody, most of the times, your temperament, you would understand that what romance is for, maybe choleric, it's not what it means for melancholic. Mm. And so you may say that I'm being romantic, but in my mind, I have analyzed that because you want sex, that's why you're being romantic.
You're being romantic.
So
I see.
It's not an everyday thing, per se. So I think...
So, the picture you've both drawn, it tells that marriage cannot survive without these, can they?
It depends on the stage of the marriage, like I said, and the circumstances within which the couple live. So, for instance, there are couples who can't have sex because of medical conditions, health difficulties. Mm.
And they have such marriage will hit the rocks.
Oh, yeah, won't. It won't hit the rock. Mm. It doesn't hit the rock necessarily. The couple, you see, for instance, here you're married, and then your spouse is involved in a fatal accident and they are paralyzed, the lower part of their body. Mm. And you're going to demand sex from that spouse? Mm. When especially a medical record shows that to
they
do
are
so
able.
Would predispose them to greater harm. Wow. Your focus in the marriage now shifts away from a passionate enchantment into something daring to each other.
So in this case, we would have to set sex aside, but
they can be intimate, they can be romantic towards each other,
okay.
But they may not be penetrative sex.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You see, that's where a lot of young men and women get shocked. Because I know people have encountered situations where the other person has mild stroke as a young person, under 40, and he cannot perform, and the wife is angry.
Oh.
And now outsourcing sex in the marriage. It is because they haven't come to appreciate the covenantal relationship that they have.
Marriage.
That when it comes to the two of them, the sex bait, romance bait, intimacy bait is exclusive.
But sex is a need.
Cannot be shared.
Mm. Okay.
Cannot be shared with others. And that's why it's difficult. So that's why I said that I put a caveat there.
There, yeah.
So that we don't put some people in harm's way.
Right.
But for those who are not in harm's way.
For those who are not in this situation, that I described, the couple would now see that it's a priority activity.
Mm.
But it won't take center stage of a marriage.
Yeah. I see. No. I want us to go into how, I just can't wait. How do we go about this? I mean, effective intimacy, effective romance, effective sex, you know, to enrich our marriages. School us. Whoever would want to take it first.
I think that...
Let Maureen start.
So I think that... Thank you. I think that Elder Amos is trying to focus on the other sides, but then I would like to go to those who are interested in sex, who can have sex, and maybe it's a problem in your relationship because, like I said, every time we talk about sex, everybody coins in and makes it feel like it's something we shouldn't talk about. Mm. But for every marriage,
that thing is it cultural or?
I think that a lot of people have myths about sex, and then when we become Christian, though you're not holy, you don't pursue holiness when it comes to gossip, when it comes to stealing. You think that when it comes to sex,
somebody says a punchline.
Yes,
when it comes to sex, you want to pursue holiness,
and you're wondering. But this is the highest form of intimacy in marriage.
Wow!
I think that when we understand, like, Elder said, sex is a connector, but sometimes you can't have it. Mm. But we have to understand that it's something we can't share. Mm. And so it means that it's important for the sometimes not both couple, but somebody in the marriage is interested in sex. Mm. And so you cannot withhold it because you think that you have the power to do so. But when you understand that sex is a covenant, it's something that is sacred in the relationship, and somebody wants it, you have to offer yourself to give it.
Okay.
So that's where intimacy comes, because you understand that the person needs this gesture. And Paul says that as much as possible, we should not separate ourselves for long if we don't agree, so that the enemy would not have a foothold over our relationship. So sex is that thing that Paul was talking about. So if you're married, you don't sit down and think that maybe your husband is being troublesome because he loves so much sex. But because you've been intimate in terms of communication and talking about it, I know how important it is to you. And so I would offer that to you, because it's a covenant. Because I know you can't have it, you shouldn't have it anywhere else. I should be able to understand that because we're in this covenant, I have to bring myself to that place where I offer this thing that is so important to the marriage at the phase where it is important to us. When we are 60 and above, we would have built a lot of would have built a lot in our relationship that sex would not, may not be possible at some stage in our marriages. But when we are young and it is possible and we can, we ought to give it. Because it's, I think that it's important in the marriage that people have sex, people are intimate to one another, and people are romantic. Because these are all, it's like that thing that takes you to the next level of your relationship. Because some people are closed in because they don't have satisfying sex. And so maybe you're talking about finance and marriage, you're talking about children, you're talking about your relationship and everything. Because a person feels like, you've not given me this thing, I'm closed. I can't be intimate with you, because anytime I ask for it, you don't give it to me. So sex is a door in a marriage. And when it, you attend to it, it may also open other doors, which would create a better home for Christian marriages. So I believe that sex is something that we should talk about. Put the myths aside, the old wife fables and the things that people say around it. I mean, I think we'll get to that. Pregnancy and sex, fasting and sex, what's it called? Menstruation and sex and all of that. They are all hindrances. But at a point where the two people are at a sex, a phase in their lives where they need sex, they should have it. And it's important.
You know, that's interesting. The value of sex to a marriage, I'll illustrate it this way. Sex is like the thermometer of a marriage at a certain age. You know what thermometer does? It measures the temperature of a person or a space. Now, the sex gauge can tell the temperature of a marriage.
So it means that you can actually tell whether a marriage is doing well or not by the way their sex life is.
Exactly.
I see.
You can also illustrate that with a thermometer, I mean, thermostat. You know, the thermostat in the refrigerating devices regulates
the temperature.
You would notice that spouses are calmer when they release good feeling hormones. So they are not stressed, and they are not in a space where they are fighting all the time and there's always tension. So to that extent, at a certain stage in marriage, the priority of sex helps you to regulate the temperature in the marriage. And it tells also the nature of the temperature in the marriage. As you well know, I've spent 3 years to develop a curriculum on sex, which is 8 parts, which I've taken to beyond this country. So I'm not here talking about old people. But it was because of the questing that I asked. I was responding specifically to the questing. Some of my young people have listened to me in recent times and said, I used to talk about abstinence, chastity, and all that. Now it seems you're talking a lot.
About sex,
especially
sex,
when
sex, sex.
Adam, what's her name? Enimua got me to talk about my 5 W's and 5 H, which is for husbands and wives, which deals really with sex, the practicum of sex. So I would say that, yes, it's important, but people should be measured. Because, see, I'm sitting in marriage counseling with individuals, and they have the mindset that when I go into marriage, I'll always get sex. And that's also a myth.
Well, that's somebody's mindset.
People have those notions. Yeah. And they go into the marriage, he's looking for sex 7 times in a week.
Is it wrong?
I'm coming. I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
No, I'm asking a listener question.
I don't pronounce.
Somebody's listening to you and is almost entering.
You know, I don't pronounce the rightness or wrongness of the battle. I try to dissect it and interrogate it.
Mm.
Now, you're married with somebody who is so busy.
But then it wouldn't be out of place if.
I know couples who have sex every day in a week.
And they are fine.
They are fine. You see, it's about them. It's not you. You see, love, sex, intimacy, romance must be customized.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's not an omnibus theory that you pick Ankla, Tori, and they, boom, Maureen, do it that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit. She's married to Osofo Kojo Frimpong. She's not married to Amos.
Mm.
I'm married to Evelyn. And so the couple look at their peculiar circumstance, their stage in life, their health. It's very, very important because people have been sent to their grave having sex when they have had cardiac arrest.
It's true.
And so I am the kind who I want to deal with it in such a way because you have plethora of
people.
Views on the matter, and people are confused sometimes, and they are hurting their spouses, and the spouses don't know who to turn to. And so I'm quite cautious. When a person is going to marriage and he thinks that I always get sex,
that's not
your wife is in a stage of pregnancy, doctors say she cannot have sex.
Because of complications.
Because of potential trouble that could visit her. Mm. And you insist I have to have it. If you don't give it to me, then I'll find it somewhere. I've heard people say this to their spouses. So it's not a compulsive urge that if you don't have it, you will die.
Mm.
So people should have that in their mind. Because there is a certain fallow period of marriage.
Oh, yes.
That's why Lady Warren talked about don't stay away for too long. Otherwise, the enemy will tempt you. That's the consent that must come in. It shouldn't be because you want it, and when I'm not in the space to offer it, you get angry. Because you must be other person-centered rather than you-centered.
And that amounts to being romantic as well.
Yes, it's being considerate of the other party.
Okay.
People are not considerate.
It tells that these three major elements, in our caption, they seem to work hand in hand.
They're intertwined.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting from what you're saying.
Yes. If we're intimate, we understand that romance is not always ending to sex.
Okay.
Yes. So that like I said earlier, depending on your temperament, maybe for one person, penetration is needed every time we are in a romantic mood.
Mm.
For another person, it could be an act of service.
Mm,
and you have satisfied the person.
Mm.
And they're okay with that. So the couple, like he said, is something that we know that it is dedicated to you. It's not automatic for everybody.
Mm.
So if we're going to say that sex every day, maybe I don't need that in my relationship.
Mm.
But we should understand that as much as it's important, we also have people who may not be in the space to give that. But when we're talking about a couple who have come together to accept that we are healthy, we are available, we understand one another, and the way we offer or give intimacy or romance is here because I have considered that my husband needs sex and I can give it. I should not withhold it from the person.
Okay.
But when I can't give it, in those times where it's not available, because of the relationship we have built, the intimacy we share, the romance we offer, we know that there is a reason why I have not given. But when we withhold intentionally, then it becomes a problem. You are not sick, you are not dying, nothing is happening to you, and then you say you don't feel like it, then you are not considering.
On the back of that, I'm going to ask a question, but two sides of one coin. Elder, I'm not sick. I don't have issues. There are no problems, health issues with me. I'm a young man, still healthy by God's grace. What does sex mean to me?
you know, Dr. Willard Harley.
And the other side will be for the woman, Lady Maureen.
Dr. Yes. Willard Harley did a study. I mean, he's an American psychologist and he's written a lot of books. Mm. One of his books is His Needs, Her Needs. Mm-hmm. And he identified that sex appeared to be the topmost issue for men emotionally.
Mm. Okay.
For women, it was conversations or connection.
Okay.
Now, so you notice that the need of a man for sex tends to be here and now.
So if a man is denied sex, it's a very big issue.
It is a big issue for many men. Many men. I'm being measured.
Yes.
Because not all men.
I get it.
Many men. So if you use sex as a bargaining chip in a marriage, you reduce that marriage to prostitution because money in a handbag, my ground. There are a lot of spouses who are doing that. But they forget that when it comes to sex, really, if you go into the mechanisms of sex, it is in giving that you get. It is in giving that you get.
Yeah.
And it's actually a biblical principle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's more blessed to give
than to receive. Yes.
And so there's a need for spouses to always be empathetic to each other. And like she rightly pointed out, you may not need it, but you can bless your spouse.
Hey!
You see, we haven't come to a place where we have taken the Abrahamic principle only in monetary terms.
Yeah.
But it applies
but
to...
But it is the Christian's existential reality.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And that is, you have been blessed that you would be a blessing.
Mm.
Now, spouses now need to look at, how can I be a blessing to my spouse?
Mm.
So, for instance, your wife is just looking for a hug, a bear hug.
Mm.
Many a wife will tell me, anytime my husband holds me, he tries to fondle me, caress me, arouse me so he can get access for sex.
Mm.
So anytime he touches me, I become numb. Why should she get that way? Because she perhaps may be struggling with your approach. How do we resolve this? A conversation between the two of you.
Yeah.
Mm. Mature people should sit and talk and reason together.
Mm.
If we don't learn to reason together, we railroad ourselves into each other's spaces, or we stonewall each other, and then we are fighting.
Mm.
And it's a major issue.
Yes.
Interesting.
That one is a major issue.
It is.
for the woman, Lady Maureen, what does sex mean to her? I'm healthy. There's nothing wrong. I mean,
I think that, like Elder said once again, it differs from woman to woman. I think that personality plays a major role. Where you grew up, the things you've heard about sex, it plays a major role. So if somebody is growing up, a young lady, you're 25, 26, you're getting married, in your mind, you think that when I get married, I would offer sex every day. I don't have a problem. But when you understand the anatomy of sex, the physiological point of sex, you may be worried because when I see a messy room, I may go off. So I want to give you sex or make love to you, but I've just seen something that's distracted by a melancholic analytical mind, and so I'm lost. A sanguine doesn't care. I mean, the room can be at any space, and anyhow, let's have it. We're doing it. So for the woman, it may not be that intercourse instantly, but it is what you do to get her to that place so that she offers it as an offering more than an act or a duty that we're there, let's go.
Mm.
So it really depends on the woman you have, the understanding and the intimacy that you have created, communication. It depends on the personality. I wouldn't want to say this is how women are or this is how every woman. No, the personality differs. Some people withhold, they weaponize sex because they've heard, Bema de Ope Bibu and Nsema. Withhold sex, and then when he gives you, you give him. So they've grown up hearing all of these things, and they are Christians, they're in church, but their mind is that sex is my weapon, and anytime I need something, I would use that against him. If we quarrel, sex is part of it. I wouldn't give it to him. These are women sitting in church. They believe in forgiveness. They believe in the Holy Spirit. They believe in Jesus Christ, but they wouldn't give
just
you sex.
In tongues.
More than any of us. But they've not understood that part of what sex is sacred. It is a part of the marriage that is important in a stage where you are, where you can't have it. Mm. And so I would say that depending that, and you find who your wife is in communicating with her. Mm. So if you know that these things distract me and it puts me off and can't get me to that place, then we know how to prepare our home, our relationship to make sure that as much as possible, you get what you want when you want it.
Elder, we are a couple, okay? And the issue of intimacy, sex, you know, romance, all that we're talking about is a big issue for us. We've been trying to struggle, you know, our way out of it. We love each other. But then when this comes up, the marriage becomes something else. How do we approach, you know, resolving this matter?
Okay, I'll read the scripture. Which
the reason, not to take the wind out of your sail, Elder, the reason why I'm asking this is because I've come across couples who say, for 6 months we've not had sex. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing medical. 6 months we've not had sex. I've heard 1 year.
And it shouldn't be odd.
It shouldn't be odd.
You see, when...
1 year.
Let me show you something. When it sounds odd in your ears, it means that you are actually creating a relationship between you and how you want things done.
No, but is that not extreme? No,
it's
1 year.
It's not extreme. You see
12 months.
I told you that you must customize your response in your marriage.
I get it.
I'm sure you've heard famously said, no two marriages are the same.
For 42-year-old man and a 39-year-old lady, both Christians, Obia and Yari.
No, I'm just showing you that it is possible for couples to decide to be away from each other for a length of time. What length of time? Nobody should determine that for them.
1 year.
As long as they are not having problems in terms of infidelity, as long as nobody is going into a compulsive masturbation, which is happening, if they are able to live that long. I mean, then what about celibates?
Well, these are married people.
Yes, I'm talking about the fact that some people have grace. You see, to each one of us.
For 1 year.
To each of us, grace is giving. That's why, for instance, you see, when you meet someone who has...
this grace is a suspect.
No. I think that when we do that, we would damage a lot of people. Let me show you something. Now, a person who has sex every day in their marriage hears that you have sex once a week. They are shocked.
No, but we cannot put a timetable to it.
I'm coming. I'm coming. You see, in much the same way that the person who has been having sex every day hears that this couple, they have sex only once a week or once a month, he finds it weird. That is the same sentiment we also have. Because we are having frequency based on our wiring. Maureen has been talking about our wiring, which is the personality. Mm-hmm. Look, there are different graces given to different individuals. Otherwise,
so it's not abnormal?
I won't find it abnormal. I would only pronounce abnormality on it when I have been seized with the facts of the parties.
Is there not a high possibility that we're doing fine? I mean, we're there. Our husband is there, wife is there, 6 months, no sex. That somebody is having sex outside the marriage.
Well, it's just a suspicion that can be anchored in certain indicators that are available.
Won't we be right if we say
but
so?
But that would be an overly generalized position if you apply to everybody. Look at Jesus speaking in Matthew 19 when they ask him about divorce and he start talking. He said, it's not given to everyone. So what I'm talking about could be an exception. There are people with an exceptional grace. And as Christians, we've got to be very careful when we pronounce on these matters, because somebody may have some grace you don't have. The fact that you don't have does not mean it doesn't exist. I want to err on the side of caution in these matters. Because, see, there are homes that are on rocks. Homes that are hanging on a very thin line. So I won't be the one to push anybody into a cliff.
Oh.
I was going to read a text, Proverbs 13:12.
Please do.
It says, hope deferred makes a heart sick. But the desire fulfilled is a tree of life. So here you have a couple. One has a hope. And the hope has not been fulfilled. They become disenchanted. They are dismayed. They are unhappy in the relationship. How do you communicate that hope to me so that I can reasonably meet you at the point of your hopefulness?
Okay.
Couples should be encouraged to do the talking between themselves because it is a secret thing.
But where your partner is not ready to listen?
If your spouse, I stay away from using partner because you know it's such a fluid terminology.
Your spouse is not ready to listen.
Or your husband or wife.
Yes.
Because partner literally says, I call Western world now. Why
be your home?
It's terrible.
But on our platform, you know that partner means
I get the point. But for general education. You know, if your spouse is hesitant, there are constraining factors. For instance, for a woman, look at your design here, labels, they are in some boxes of some sort. Men think like pigeonholes. A man may have a quarrel with you on Monday. On Thursday, he can touch you for sex. A woman cannot relate with that. Because a woman is like a ball of yarn. The crocheting thread.
Is intertwined.
Because everything is related to something. So like she described, money-related issues, unresolved questions, unanswered probes and all those things. I've seen something on the phone, I raise issue, you ignore it, pretend you haven't heard it. It will roll over into the bedroom. She's stressed. You go to her, she says, I'm tired. And my friend, one of my friends, I'll mention him because I didn't get her permission, but she wrote a piece where she talked about when a woman says, I am tired. She gave her at least 10 different reasons of that simple line, I am tired, and what it means. Because she works with women. But when you read it as a man, you get shocked that women, when they say they are tired, these things are included.
Like?
One of them is you're cheating on her. And she knows you're cheating, and you pretend you're not cheating. So you go to her, she says she's tired. Maybe you come, you are full of energy, steam, you're burning with steam. You come and exhale. And then just leave her also in a wonderland.
Next time she'll tell you she's tired.
She's tired. Because if that becomes overly your mode. She then says, Charlie, I don't know the point of this. So there are things that spouses need to talk about. But don't deny each other. You see, my fear has to do with those who deny each other. Because your marital due is your marital due. And you must be committed to it because for every covenant relationship, there are terms of engagement. Do you embrace the terms? Like she raised a few issues. The individuals have heard them say, well, we are done with childbirth, so there's no point in having sex. But you know, there is also a religious group that has that as a teaching. I can't mention the name, but there's a religious group.
That's news to me, though.
Oh, there's a religious group that has teaching. It's that sex is purely for procreation.
So
they don't like to touch on the subject of pleasure in sex.
Interesting.
But they think that, you know, from something like orgasm, for instance, you know that many years ago, the concept of orgasm, when they started doing clitoridectomy, this FGM, it was to cure what they call insanity in women.
Orgasm.
Yes. That was one of the motivations to cure insanity in women. So they clip off the clitoris just to numb them. And you know,
female mutilation.
Yeah. A lot of women then don't have any edge or drive, as it were.
In fact, we're going to be
and it has to do with a religious thing.
I see.
It was a religious thing.
We're going to be looking at orgasm, you know, extensively later on. But tonight we want to lay the foundation that we'll build on. So, Lady Maureen, throwing same question to about the other side of the coin for a woman. Mm-hmm. What does romance, sex, you know, all these things mean to me that as a man I should know?
Oh, I think men should understand that women don't understand things the way they do.
Exactly.
We're different from men. Mm-hmm. If you want, a man can just say that I want to have sex. They don't mind if you are their wives or not. They don't have that understanding at the time that they need the sex. Mm-hmm. So men ought to understand that women are different from them, mm-hmm. and women need not just sex, but they need romance and intimacy mm-hmm. to get there. Okay. To actually, sex is more like the icing on the cake for us.
So it's a journey for women.
Yeah, it's a journey. Yes, if you'd say so, it's a journey. It's not just that instant satisfaction that you have, mm-hmm. but ours is that you have to take me through something. Let me know you're interested in what is happening, and it's not just because you feel like it. We just jump in and then we're done. But men should know that we're different. And we should talk about it. If we're all, like I said earlier, if we're all interested in the marriage, sorry, in sex, we should talk about how it should be done, how we prefer it done, and so that we don't say we're tired, because there may be that the styles you're given is boring. It could be that you have...
Styles matter, eh?
All they do matter. I mean, for some women.
We may delve deeper into it next week, but does size matter for a woman?
Sorry?
For a woman. Does size matter?
Size.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I don't know yet. Because it would depend on what the person is looking at. Mm. Now, Elder is making me feel I should have to be measured. If it was before now, I would have told you it is, but now I'm being measured. So it may matter, but obviously, if, for instance, you've not had sex before and this is what you're used to, how do you know there's something bigger or smaller. Somewhere?
Okay.
That's how I think.
Right.
So.
Right. We'll delve deeper into it. Interestingly, I mean, time flies. On a walk with Jesus, 1 hour becomes so short.
Honestly,
for me.
Honestly.
You know. Wow. But then it's been very educative. Elder, I want us to talk about bedroom blessings weekend.
Yeah, I mean, as you well know, each year during the month of my birth, which is September, and that of my daughters, which is also in September, we bless humanity with different interventions. And this year we're looking at two events. One is a free public presentation on marriage and a meaningful midlife. Mm-hmm. I've seen that a lot of the conversations we have is pre-midlife. Now, many people don't even think about midlife and its changes, circumstances, the challenges that comes with it, and its impact on marriage.
For education, what does midlife mean?
You see, for many women, it's around 35.
Okay.
It starts off from age 35. For many men, from age 40.
Mm-hmm.
And you would notice that your body has changed significantly. For others, for some, it's a mild change. You transit into some... different realm, and you wonder if you're the same person. You know, and in midlife we're beginning to ask ourselves our dreams and aspirations. Have we met them? If we haven't met them, it begins to bite the marriage in many, many situations. People will have career moves. Some will have adolescent children. How do you marry and prepare for emptiness? There's so many young men and women whose marriages are around the children today. But a day is going to come, all those children will leave your nest. And when they leave, it's the two of you. How are you going to live? So that's what we're doing. And that's on Sunday, the 15th of September, at PIWC. And it's a free event. It's 5 p.m. We start. It's just a two-hour event. And I'll be in conversation to discuss these issues.
In Tema, which community?
Community 7 it is.
Okay.
It's opposite the Subin Valley Complex on the Tema Joint Church Street. It's called the Okonfanoti Street. But to anybody who wants any help, I'll put up a number. Then the second one is the bedroom blessings, which you ask, which falls on the 27th, which is my birthday proper. And we're taking them away to a coded location to discuss being a sexually satisfying spouse, not a sexually satisfied spouse. Because too many of us are selfish when it comes to sex, because we are naturally wired to self-protect. So that people in marriages who are not thinking of their spouses, they're just thinking of I, me, and myself. But the scripture tells us, Psalm 37, delight in the Lord and he'll bring to pass the desires of your heart. So our focus in that conversation is to shift from desire to delight. How do you delight in your spouse? So that your desires are fulfilled. It's so important. There's so many of us which are just driven by desire, desire, desire. It is my desire. And we are killing our marriages with desire. When there is no delight. How do we shift? So this conversation, anyone who wants to be part of this, you just send me a WhatsApp. I'll send you the link.
What's the number?
It's 020-936-9199. And this is in a coded location. We are not putting the venue out. No. It goes directly to those who subscribe. We don't want gate crashers and friends who went to a funeral and they are passing by. Because when we do our retreats, we have that problem because the location is public. And so you have some friends go to a funeral in the neighborhood and then they drive in lunchtime and they are engaging you. Meanwhile, we want spouses to be there for each other. They be busy all the week, all the months, and you are at a retreat and you still... I've been distracted, and especially for pastors.
The way you said pastors, it's
like and journalists.
And journalists.
Someone sleeping in studios.
What is the number to call, Elder?
It's 020-936-9199. 020-936-9199. You just send a WhatsApp. It's late. I don't pay calls at this time. We'll send you the link and then you can sign up for it.
Right. So be a part of this and send WhatsApp to... Please send WhatsApp. Don't call.
Look.
Send WhatsApp to 020-936-9199. A very big thank you to you, Elder Amos and Lady Maureen. It's been wonderful
nice
tonight.
Nice pairing me with Kojo Frimpong's wife.
Yeah. Right. Uncle Ken is ready in the studio. I've always said that it's amazing. I don't know how Uncle Ken does it, but he looks so... I mean, he glows in
He's
the color
poised.
Blue. You know? Uncle Ken, good evening,
You always make me blush.